This is Palm Sunday, and this is the beginning of Holy Week. And I had a short amount of time here, just a small gap, and I was kind of have a little pity party for Joel this week, because there's quite a bit going on. You know, there's just lots of stuff happening, and I was kind of feeling sorry for myself a little bit. And then I kind of went back and looked at the whole big story here of where this all fits into our story as followers of Christ. And, you know, there was a lot that happened during this week. I wanted to show you this graphically. So rather than do some boring pie graph chart, I got a picture of a palm branch. You find that one, Raleigh? Go another one there. And this is a special one because that palm branch is, I had to work really hard to find this one. That's got 21 little things on it, petals. It's the same number of chapters that are in the book of John. Okay, so John's gospel has 21 chapters in it. And what's interesting about it is the first 10 chapters here are all these stories that you can't read there, but it is, in the beginning was the Word, was John chapter 1, and then he turns water to wine is chapter 2, and for God so loved the world is John chapter 3, and all this teaching that he has in the rest of the book here, the Samaritan woman, and the healing of a crippled man, and the feeding of the 5,000, and just this all this teaching and stuff he has, chapters 1 through 10 in the book of John. But here's what's interesting, is the whole rest of the book, which would be chapters 11 through 21, are all about the very final days of Christ's ministry here on earth. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, you think about Jesus' life that he had here of 33 years, a ministry of 3 years, and more than half of the book of John is really about the last week of his life. It is a power-packed week because of all the events that happen during that time and the importance of this whole week and all of the things that happened. And there's a lot there. And so what I thought would be good for us to do in your bulletin, if you have this, there's a little purple sheet there. I thought it would be awesome for us as a family to just kind of focus on those top branches of the palm there, that we as a family would be prayerfully working through this story. I use that word a lot the last several months. This awesome story of Christ and what he's done for us. And so every day, if you look there, it's pretty simple. Every day, just take time out that you can maybe focus a little bit and read this awesome story about the first Holy Week and experience. Let's do that. Let's do that together. I think that would be really, really good. I want to share with you a story that relates a little bit about today, this day of Palm Sunday. And this story is about a little donkey. And little donkey was a young donkey, may have been like a teenage donkey here. He might look familiar to you here a little bit. And he's just not a whole lot different than a young teenage boy. He's just full of energy and always wanting to do something, never tires, and always wants to go. And he just can't wait to grow up, just like a lot of teenagers. They can't wait to grow up and do the stuff big donkeys do, you know. And he said, I just can't wait till I get big enough and strong enough that I'm going to be able to carry a man on my back. And he's just so excited about this. He asked his mom, he said, Mom, you think I'm ever going to get strong enough that I'm going to be able to carry a man on my back? She says, oh, yeah, in time you will. For sure you will. Well, time would have it that in the city that was near where the little donkey lived, it was the time of Passover. And it was just crazy busy with people. People from all over the world are coming to worship in Jerusalem, to observe Passover. And so all this bustle that was going on, and a little donkey wanted to be, just so much wanted to be a part of this. Mama, can I go? Can I go there and see what's happening? She says, no, you're too little. You can't do that. But he kind of snuck out and did his own thing and got as far as his mom would really let him so he could observe all these people that were there. And it was fascinating, all the different noises and the animals that were there. And he just was enthralled by what was all happening. And then he saw some people looking his way and pointing and said, there he is. There's two guys pointing at him. There he is. And these guys came over a little donkey and untied him and ended up taking him out to the city limits. And he didn't know what was going on. And they led another man to him, and he found out his name was Jesus. And he said, we're going to have this donkey take Jesus to town. And Jesus did that. And the little donkey he's kind of freaking out here a little bit because he's little. He doesn't know if he can handle this, and he knows he can do it. But Jesus gently patted him and said, you are going to be the donkey that carries me to Jerusalem. And so they threw a blanket over the top of him. Jesus crawled on his back, and they set out for town. Little donkey couldn't believe what happened because all these people were just focused on him. And they were singing and they were yelling and they were waving palm branches and putting palm branches on the road like a red carpet. And they took their coats off and threw their coats in the middle of the road so that they could make the path. And he just chest is out walking down doing his donkey thing, you know. He was so proud of what he was doing. And he got to town and he let off Jesus and he ended up just couldn't wait to get back and tell mom about what had happened. So he went back and he told mom and how excited he was. And he couldn't sleep that night. It was like nothing he'd ever experienced, little donkey. Next morning, he got up and said, I got to get me some more of that because it was so cool, all these people. And he went back again to the town, but this time it was different. This time he went back and he's walking around kind of thinking, you know, here I am, me and my bad self, you know, walking around. They're going to do the same thing and they're going to do the thing with this and nothing. Nothing happened. All he got was just scowls from the crowd and jeers from the crowd and boos and hisses. And, you know, he's even trying to draw attention. All they do is throw stuff at him. Get out of here. Get out of here. And he's crushed. Little donkey became crushed. So he ended up having to go home. He just didn't know what else to do. He was so sad. And he ends up going back home to mom. And he goes to mom and just tells her this sad story about what had happened. I said, Mama, you know what happened yesterday? You know what happened there? And now I went back today and nothing. No accolades, no praise, no singing, no hosannas, no palms, no coats. And Mama looked down at him and she did whatever perfectly tender-hearted Mama Donkey would do. And she put her little hoofs together and she grabbed him by the cheeks. And she said, you're being a dumbass. Now, she could say that, okay? She could. You can't. She could. But she said, you're being foolish. Because without him, you're nothing. Without him, you're nothing. You know, there's a marquee we could maybe put on our sign out there. Don't be a... Because without him, you're nothing. You know, maybe... No. Joanne said no. Yeah, but, you know, seriously, if you think about that, I think that is an awesome theme to think about here. Because in our foolishness, in so many ways, just like the little donkey, without him, we need to understand we're nothing. But with him, we're everything. And that is the key difference for us as followers of Christ. The more we embrace that, the more we know that without him, we're nothing. But with him and in him, there is everything. Some of you are familiar with Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life book. A lot of you have read that. And the very first lines he has in that book, he says, it's not about you. It's not about you. And that is the same simple message that we all need to hear. Just like that little donkey, it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves. And we think about, what is it about all of this experience we have that will benefit us? What is there in this for me? And I even think within the church that happens sometimes. That we come to church sometimes and think, how will this experience in church make my life more beneficial or more fulfilling? But it goes back to that lesson that that little donkey needed to hear. It's not about you. Because without him, we're nothing. With him is everything. Well, this story about Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday so many years ago. Interesting thing about this story was in all four of our Gospels. All four accounts talk about this. The one I selected comes from John because we've been talking about John just a little bit. I'll read this with us from chapter 12 and verse 12. The next day, this will be Sunday, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming. seated on a donkey's colt. There were enormous crowds present at this time, primarily because of Passover. This was just one of those feasts that people were required to throughout all Judea and wherever they could, if they could, was to come to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. So that's why there were so many people in the area. But there was also a large contingent crowd around Christ. And that main reason was probably because of Lazarus. And you know this story. You'd have to back up just a little bit to remember this story. But just before this is the incident where Lazarus, his good friend, the brother of Mary and Martha, dies. And he's really dead, we know, because he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And they say he kind of smelled bad. So it wasn't one of those things that he was maybe asleep for a while. He was dead. And Jesus raises him from the dead. And word about this gets around. So you can imagine, you know, what that was like and the energy that would have been around his followers, that this guy has just conquered death in Lazarus' life. So that's why there was a large group of people around Jesus, and this is why. This is what was happening here and why there were so many people around them. But what is it that they wanted? What was it that these people, what was it that they would have been looking for? And there seems to be that there was a feeling among these, just because of how we gather this from the scripture, that there was a tremendous energy about perhaps this man becoming king. And perhaps they were anticipating some awesome, elaborate coronation ceremony where Jesus is going to come into town and he's going to receive a crown, he's going to have his power, and, you know, different thoughts that people would have had at the time, that they perhaps were going to see Jesus being made king. Key word there about being made. And maybe they also had some sort of idea about what this king would be like. They probably had some belief or theory about what this king would be like and how he would rule and how he would reign. And it's nothing brand new. Israel, the Jewish people, have been looking for this for a long time. They've been promised and they have this hope in Messiah coming. This idea of a king coming wasn't anything new, and they wanted a king. And that's just what Jesus really does in this move. When he comes riding on this donkey, he is proclaiming that he is king. Not a familiar kind of thing for us to understand. You know, we see this happening or think about this happening. That doesn't fit into our culture. But the people of the time would have understood this, because leaders that would come back from a great military victory, they would ride into town on a horse and be proclaiming, he's the hero of the story and the kingdom is now secure. They were proclaiming their great leadership. This happened throughout history. To come on a colt, though, of a donkey may mean that you would come in peace, because they would do that sometime. We're not coming in as a warrior. Things are conquered. There has been victory won as a leader would come to town. And if they did it on a mule, it would maybe signify that we are now in a time of peace. And that's what is happening here. Christ is coming and he's proclaiming himself as king. And he does it on a donkey. A donkey's colt, which is the fulfillment of something that people would have known about. Because in their scripture, they roll back their scrolls and they get to Zechariah, which would have been written like 500 or 600 years before this. And that scripture says, "Don't be afraid, O daughter of Zion, Israel, don't be afraid. Your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." And that comes from the book of Zechariah. So Jesus does that to proclaim himself as king, but also to fulfill his prophecy so they could say, "Ah, we see him now." But what is interesting to me about this is that the people were thinking about Jesus coming to be made king. And I guess struggle with that a little bit, because you know what? I think he's already king. Jesus is already king. We read in the first book of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him, and without not one thing came into this world without him. And that Word became flesh." Boy, I read that, he's already king. Jesus is already king, but he's doing this for the people, to proclaim it to all of these people. they questioned him a little later on, and Jesus made the statement that, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham, I am." Wow, Abraham, thousands of years ago, and Jesus says, "Before that, me." He's already king. But he does this anyways, and he does this for the benefit of the people. And he does this for the benefit of you and I as we participate in this story as well. So he sends ahead for a donkey. We need to get a little bit more of the story from the Gospel of Mark here. He tells two guys to go up ahead before this takes place and go into the village, and immediately you enter it there, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. Oh, that tells me a couple of things there as well about the authority of Christ and who he is and why I believe he's king already. He already knows there's a colt being tied up. He sees it. He sees this before the guys get there. That tells me an awful lot about his power and his authority. But then also he brings it back and it says it's never been ridden before. I had to call my horse expert over here, Corey, yesterday, because I don't know much about horses or donkeys, but I thought, you know, if a donkey's never been ridden before, if you throw a blanket on it and try to get on it, my guess is it's going to be a lot like a horse. You know, it's not going to like it. But no, there's no record of that. Jesus in his power and his calming ability, that he made it so, and he rides to town on this donkey. These are already evidence to me that says, we know the Christ. He doesn't need to be made king. We know he is already king. But people want a king. We all want a king. I believe we all have this desire. I think we all are wired in such a way that you and I want to, we want to connect with our Creator King. That is what we were made to do, to be in a relationship with the King of Kings. And that's just what Jesus does. He comes and he proclaims himself as king, but probably not the type of king that the people were anticipating. He came as a different kind of ruler and king. And I think it's really interesting in how the people responded. There's a couple of statements that we sing and we read about, and we say these over and over again, but I think as you break them down a little bit, it's kind of fascinating. The people saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." We sing that, "Hosanna in the highest." And you know, when we think of Hosanna, we think of this word that it's about praise. Praise to you, Allah, and honor, and praise, Hosanna. And that is the meaning of the word in the context of how it's used. But the word really goes back to a deeper meaning in the Hebrew that means save us. And Hosanna then is interpreted as save us now. And that casts a little bit different light on the scene here. The people may not even recognize it because they're singing these praises to Jesus through the word Hosanna. But really what they're saying is save us and save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Another thing that they're singing to Jesus as he comes. That phrase comes from one of the Psalms, and it is always used as they celebrate Passover. It's one of the final prayers that these people use in their Passover festival. But remember what Passover is about. What is it that they're celebrating? They're there celebrating the deliverance of the people by God from Egypt. How God saved them. And how God saved them from the last plague that came over Egypt, the death, where all the firstborn were killed. So to sing Hosanna and to sing the praises about blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord is really about, to me, this kind of secret proclamation that they're saying. I don't think they even know it, but we need a Savior. We're screaming for a king. They seem to be calling for a king, but deep down I think they're saying, save us. We need a Savior. And I think this is the saving kind of king that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that day. He's already a king, but now he's one that is coming to do what had to be done. In just 5 days, he's going to do something that the universe has never seen. He's a king that is going to become a Savior. He's going to come to provide forgiveness for all people then and all people now who would receive that. He came to do what his Father sent him to do, to fulfill the will of his Father. Without him, we're nothing. with Him, there is everything. He came to be our Savior that we're reminded of this week. He came to right all of the wrongs of all people for all time, once and for all. That's how Christ comes as Savior. And He came as King. He came to rule and reign in the lives of all people and to give them real purpose and real meaning in their lives, in my life and in your life. Without Him, we're nothing, but with Him, we're everything. I want to take a minute here, and I think we'll skip the last hymn here, and I've been using the word story an awful lot here in the last several weeks about, you know, this is such an awesome story that was written to include you and I, and I want to give you an opportunity to participate in the story, in this story that we're reminded of today as this conquering King came, but He came as a Savior. And I'm going to, just in a moment, lead you in prayer, and this isn't going to be something awkward or weird, it isn't that, but I want to give you an opportunity to have a time of silent prayer here that you could respond. Perhaps you've never heard the story quite this way. Perhaps the Spirit's working on your heart right now as you think about this week and what has happened for us as a community, to respond to that. So if you would you just stand with me and close your eyes and we'll close here with prayer. Father, we thank You for You, and we thank You for the tremendous love that we find in You. We thank You for reminding us of this grand, awesome story. This story that tells us that without You, we're nothing. We're lost, and we're doomed, and we're damned. And it's because of sin. Every one of us has that. Everyone has a propensity. We have this nature, this yearning about us, this proning to wander away from truth and holiness. And Lord, I just ask right now that Your Spirit would be upon this group and this family here, that perhaps You would be convicting us right now to consider that. And I ask that You would hear our prayers right now, that us individually, silently, would confess to You that we sin. Father, we thank You for the good and great news that we have, that there is this solution to that problem. There is a fix for our doom. There is a Savior for we, the people, who need to be saved. And it's found in You. Scripture says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is that Messiah, that we will be saved. And so, Lord, we just give You this time, that in our group and in this family, that if we've never done that before, that we would pray to You and just receive Your forgiveness and entrust our souls and our lives and our eternities to You. Hear us as we pray. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit and Your presence and Your calling and Your nudging and Your pushing us closer to You. We thank You, Lord, for the Spirit that has moved in this people. And we just thank You for this week. We just pray that we would be a people that would reflect this good, great news that is found in You. In Your name, amen. Have a great Holy Week. Amen.